The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
I hope you are all warm in your nooks and crannies. Hail to the chief right now, trails the president, President Obama, but who will it trail in 2016? Because it looks like the next challenge is going to be the combat zone of D.C., where it's going to be a war of words and attrition, who can withstand the hits more than the other person, meaning 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the executive branch, rather, versus the legislative branch. Once you have Mitch McConnell in as the Senate Majority Leader and John Boehner is the Speaker of the House, I think we're going to see nothing but showdowns, which then, through 2015, sets us up for more convo about who's going to be president next time around. Hillary Clinton, will she say she's running officially in the next couple of weeks? Supposedly, that's what we heard. My inside source is probably as good as yours, because mine tell me that there's absolutely no way she's not going to run. It would be an incredible shocker if she didn't do it. So if you assume she's running, she gets the nomination, then what happens on the Republican side in the last couple of days especially, and then right after the election day, after the midterm massacre, when it was a sea of red across the country, you had a lot of Republicans saying that, yeah, they're toying with the idea and they're excited about what's happening, and a lot of people trying to grab the brass ring. So get ready for showdowns and beauty pageants for the Republicans. And I mean beauty pageants in the sense that there'll be a lot of stumping, a lot of trips to Iowa, New Hampshire, polling people, all the kind of things that you do leading up to the moment where you choose who the nominee is. And the Democrats might be just as intriguing as the Republicans. Because if it is Hillary Clinton, then who is on the undercard? That's what I like to call it. Who is the VP? And to counterbalance that, what would the Republicans do? What kind of a ticket would they put together? But in the meantime, hail to the chief does belong to Obama. And right now, we may have more conversation, perfect for the holidays, isn't it, talking about another government shutdown. Because the Republicans are saying they're going to fight Obama's plan to change immigration laws through executive action. But how can they do it without playing the game of government shutdown? I don't see how they can. I mean, what are the options? And the biggest option is shutting down the government. The House and the Senate need to pass a measure during the lame duck session to fund federal agencies, because they're going to run out of money about mid-December. So John Boehner is being pressed in all directions to attach something to the spending bill that would block any money for the federal agencies to give out new visas or green cards. Hal Rogers from Kentucky is the House Appropriations Chairman, and he's come up with this omnibus spending measure, but says that efforts could trigger a shutdown, and nobody really wants to go down that road if that happens. If you hold the president hostage in a sense, what happens to the possibility of a government shutdown, then it goes up. That's what happens. And the president, who's been in Asia this week, is committed, has dug in his heels, that he is using executive action, authority, whatever you want to call it, to handle the immigration problem by the end of the year. But the timing is what they're messing with, so we don't know when the timing will happen. Josh Earnest told reporters, you know, he does the daily briefing out of the White House, that Myanmar is Obama, in Myanmar, that Obama is nearing a final decision. So now, on the Hill, they've been meeting, and Boehner insists that one of his top priorities is to use every tool available to stop any effort by the president to go around Congress on immigration. That he's going to fight the president tooth and nail if he goes down this path. What if we had another government shutdown? Oh, how ridiculous would that be? And then everybody in those agencies would be out. And then bringing them back, they'd be paid for that. Remember what happened the last time? And it affected a lot of people. And really, what did it? Where did we end up? In the same place. But immigration is a whole different thing. And I don't think the Republicans, as they're brainstorming through this, can just let the president do the executive action on immigration, as this has been something that's been debated for how long? I don't think they're going to stand for that. Now, the Senate Majority Leader, who's there currently, Harry Reid, supports the president's effort to address immigration, but has privately said that there's some concerns that an executive action would actually threaten the passage of the spending bill, which is what we're saying, because it would be the only way that I can possibly think of that the best way, because it has to have some teeth in it, would be to hold up the funding. And think about that. That's mid-December that we're talking about, and this is the holidays. So, you know, will he really go there? Will they really end up going there where immigration then gets blamed for a government shutdown? Or do they let it go? But if they let it go, there, you know, there really isn't too much that they can do in Congress. An executive action is an executive action. Putting language to that where they won't fund the government without that conversation on immigration would change the game, and I think that's what happens. I think that's what's going to happen here. By the way, we have another Ebola patient headed to Nebraska. This is a U.S. citizen. You know, Nebraska, they've treated two people successfully. It's one of the four places where they have the facility to do what you have to do, meaning they have the biocontainment units and all the preparation for that. This time it's a doctor from Sierra Leone who has permanent residency in the United States. His wife is American and his kids. He's expected to arrive this weekend, probably on Saturday. Sierra Leone, where he's coming from, has seen 5,300 cases of Ebola and 1,100 deaths at least in this year's outbreak of the virus. Ooh, my. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. choices, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
It was a story that made huge headlines, and you may have heard of Michelle Williams, a.k.a. the Keller Black Widow out of Texas, and a very, very sad story. She was convicted of murdering her husband, Greg Williams, after the murder attempt to get her sons, Andrew and his brother, to help her frame her husband's ex-wife for the murder. We are pleased to welcome to the show Andrew O'Brien, who, among other things, is an Iraq war vet, a suicide survivor, the founder of the Wish Project, a public speaker. And, Andrew, thanks so much for sharing your story and coming on America Tonight.
And thank you for having me on.
So that had to be tough for you going through this whole period, the trial, everything that entailed, and then also having to testify. And you were the first person to testify in the case against your mother. Tell us what that was like, because I can't imagine many people can relate to being in your shoes.
No, it's really hard. I've had a lot of people ask me that question, and it's really hard to explain. You have all kinds of emotions going through you at one time. It's just like the movies where they make you point out the who you're talking about, who you're testifying against. So I just sit there and point out my own mother. And, I mean, we didn't have the best childhood, and I'm not a big fan of my mother. But for anyone, no matter what your mother has done in your life, it's a really hard thing to go through to sit there and testify against her for murder.
Yeah. And you know, in testifying and then going through that tunnel and then ultimately the sentencing, because, you know, this was just a couple of weeks ago that your mom was sentenced, and she was sentenced to 60 years in prison for the death of her husband, which was, we have to wind back the clock to October of 2011. So, as I said, you've had to go through this for a very long period of time. And when your mother came to you and your brother and basically asked you to help, were you just astonished by that?
I was in complete shock. It's the last thing you ever expect to hear. Even though my mother has been this kind of person our whole life. And so it really shouldn't have been that big of a surprise, but it was, because I can't imagine. I have kids myself, and I can't imagine asking my children to do something like that. So it was, to me, the way I coped with it was thinking, oh, she's just in shock right now. She's just freaking out, but nothing changed. So, it was definitely shocking to me.
What do you mentioned that you have kids yourself. What do you tell your kids? Because that's got to be kind of tough to try to explain it to them. And eventually, if they haven't already, eventually people will ask them questions. What do you tell them?
I got a six-year-old and a six-month-old. So the six-month-old isn't a big issue. The six-year-old has seen the news and seen her on TV and things like that. And I just explained to her that my mother did something very bad. My mother's never met my children. So I just explained to her that my mother did something very bad, and she went to jail for it.
Yeah. As you said, a lot of people were asking you questions about it, and so there was a spotlight. Was it also tough dealing with a heavy media crush? Because initially there certainly was that. This is something that certainly the verdict is just something that's new in the sentencing. Was that a hard thing as well, to have that kind of that spotlight on you?
It was, because when it first started, this all started at the end of 2011, like you said, and when that happened, that's when media was the hardest, and that's when media really jumped onto everything, and we had media following us places, we had them coming to our door and knocking on our front door, and it was really difficult, because you're trying to take care of, we also have a younger sister who was in the house when it happened, and she was only 4 years old, so we're trying to protect her from everything, and then we've got media coming after us, and It was a lot of stress.
Yeah. You mentioned your sister, your four-year-old sister. What did, after this all happened, and now, of course, your mom in prison, who is your sister with now at this point?
She's with some very close family friends that were friends of Greg's for a very long time. And Greg is her ex-husband, or not her ex-husband, but the deceased husband. And she's with them, and she's in really good hands. She's 7 years old now, and she's in school, and she's doing really well.
That's great news. I mentioned also that that you're an Iraq war vet. Tell us about your service time. And, you know, all of us are watching now what's happening in Iraq, as I'm sure you are, with ISIS. And you must have some thoughts on that as well.
Oh, yeah. I was in Iraq from 2008 to 2009, and while we were there, I was in a town called Beji, and there was an oil rig there, and ISIS has taken over that oil rig. ISIS has taken over the base that we used to have, and it's hard watching all that, because you feel like you went and did all these things and did all this work just for it not to really mean anything, because it's all back to, it's worse than it was when we got there. So it's really difficult seeing all that, but in my opinion, I'm not big on going back there. I just feel like it's never going to end. So,
right. So in your opinion, forget the whole idea of boots on the ground, because we've already deposited enough blood, sweat, and tears and lives in that situation?
Yes, I feel like it's time for us to focus on ourselves, time for us to be a little selfish.
Yeah. Tell me about surviving suicide and coming, what drove you to that point and coming out on the other side?
Well, a big part of that is growing up with my mother was really hard. Since I was a child, she was a prostitute and a stripper growing up. And so we were raised in motel rooms and trailer parks. And, at a young age, we had to watch men coming in and out of our lives, in and out of the motel room, watching her go to work at a strip club and not getting home so late. And so that had a lot to do with my suicide attempt. And then going through that childhood and then going into the Army, I went through my experiences in Iraq, where I saw some things and experienced war. And that was just the final tipping point. I got home and tried to suck it up, and it just didn't work for me. And so I ended up trying to take my own life due to my childhood and my war experiences.
Yeah. What helped you bounce back out of that?
My brother. My brother has been my stronghold since I've been a little kid. My brother was always my father figure. He always took care of us. You know, I remember this one time whenever I was 6 years old, my brother came up and curled up on me and covered his hands over my ears because he didn't want me to hear my mom having sexual relations with her client in the same room. So he's always been my stronghold. He helped me bounce back from that.
Yep, so he's the rock, right? And he's the, when you need somebody, he's the guy you go to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tell us about the WISH Project.
Okay, so the WISH Project stands for Welcoming Your Soldier Home. So it's W-Y-S-H instead of W-I. And I started that early last year, and I started because veteran suicides are at an all-time high. And I wrote a book called Welcoming Your Soldier Home, which led to the project, and it led into me starting to do some public speeches in early 2013, and it just took off from there. My speeches have done really well, and I've probably done over 100 speeches in the past year, and I've spoken to well over 50,000 people, veterans, service members, and civilians. But the whole point of the WISH Project is to prevent military suicide.
Yeah, and you feel, and as you're somebody that went through that, you can relate to what so many people coming back are feeling and how they're trying, like you said, trying to resume their life, but how tough it is. And you've got to be proud of the fact of what you've been able to do with the WISH Project. And have you had people call you up or come up to you and say, thanks, man, because, you know, buddy, I was feeling really blue and I'm not so sure I was going to make it, but now I feel like I can?
Yeah, I actually just had that. I just came off a tour in September. I went to two different countries and five different states. And every place I went, I had that happen where someone in the military would come up to me and say, hey, you know, you really made me decide to go get help today. And I really felt weak, but your story really helped me. I have a lot of people come up to me with tears in their eyes because my story is a pretty rough one. And it's, you know, it's a mixture. Again, it's not just the military service, it's childhood. And what people don't know is a lot of these suicides in the military, the majority of them are because they had a rough childhood as well. So they can connect with me on both levels, childhood and military.
Yeah. What can people do that are listening to this interview to reach out to people that have come back from those war zones? Is there something that we're missing? And maybe there's something people can do to help before it gets to that desperation point. What would you say?
Biggest thing is listen without judgment, and not just listen and look down at your watch or act like you're listening, but really listen and listen to what they're saying, listen to their stories, and don't judge. Just an ear to listen and to feel like we can talk to someone without being judged or without being given opinions, because everybody wants to solve a problem, and you can't solve someone else's problem, but what you can do is help take a little pressure off of them and just hear them out. And that's not just with veterans either. That's just any civilian, any human being who's been through something rough in life, they just want someone to talk to and not be judged for it.
Wow, great place to end this and some powerful words. Andrew O'Brien, wishproject.org. You can find out more there, as Andrew said, with a Y, W-Y-S-H-project.org. Andrew, continued success and good luck with everything. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Headlines, suspensions, FCC investigations. That's Man Cow for you. Hear it here. GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three square meals you'll need in an emergency. So the Freeze Dry Guys three square meal unit sale is just the ticket. A variety pack of tasty, nourishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on sale now. Breakfast is Freeze Dry Guys' favorite. Hot oatmeal and sweet dehydrated bananas. Lunch is Mountain House freeze-dried hot macaroni and cheese and crisp green beans. And dinner is Mountain House long grain wild rice pilaf and hearty beef stew, vegetables, and gravy. Call Freeze Dry Guy and ask for details on the 126 serving three square meals unit. One case normally $164.37, sale price at only $138.90. Save over $25. Get two or three cases and save even more. Or ask about Freeze Dry Guy's fall chili special. Always free shipping to lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 or click freezedryguy.com. And hurry, the fall chili special and three square meals unit are on sale while supplies last. From the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze dried and dehydrated foods available for long term storage, period.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams, been haunted by a million screams. I can hear the marching feet, they're moving into the street.
Tales of American Political History with Clinton Porter Hackney.
We've been talking about the Star Spangled Banner and how it came to be America's national anthem. After Francis Scott Key put his lyrics to an existing melody, it became instantly popular, and there was somewhat of a competition for many years as to what our favorite patriotic songs were. Yet there was still no public outcry for an anthem. Key's Star Spangled Banner was criticized for being too militaristic, among other things, and other songs were thought to have better tunes. But in 1893, the song got its biggest boost as America's anthem. The U.S. Navy ordered that the Star Spangled Banner be played for the colors. Just 2 years later, the Army did the same. Then, in 1916, President Woodrow Wilson issued an executive order declaring the song as our military anthem. Join us again for the final formal adoption. This is Clinton Porter Hackney at cphackney.com.
Love slices of any information over things that happened in the past and how we got there. And the Navy was the first, and how about that? That's a great little trivia question that a lot of people can't answer. One thing we can answer is the call when you overflow the mailbag. And, you know, said awkwardly, but so true, every single time I fire up the computer, so to speak, and I check the email, there's a little monitor when it pegs into the red, and almost every day it's in the red. So let's not stand on ceremony. Let's dive into the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you. This one from Sandy. Hey, Kate, I don't know if you remember me. I used to email you quite a bit. That was a couple years ago. My schedule changed. I'm sorry I didn't send you an email to let you know, but I wanted you to know that I still am downloading your shows and really enjoy them. I heard the other day something that was said about immigration, and I thought a great guy called from Florida and made a wonderful point, and the two of you went back and forth talking about people who go into the fields and pick the crop, so to speak. You were focusing on oranges, I think, and mentioned about strawberry patches where you had been and some of the conversations you had with farmers. And the argument about wouldn't Americans take those jobs if we booted the illegals out of the country and we had to do them, wouldn't Americans who aren't working or people who want to do it go and do it? And the answer is no. I agree with the caller from Tallahassee. I thought it was great to hear another point of view, and bravo to you for inviting all to your show. That's why I will continue to download it and listen live when I can. The best. Yeah, we did. He was a good caller, just saying his point of view was that Americans wouldn't do those jobs, which is when you talk to the farmers, that's what they say. But you have to remember the other side of the farmer is, you know, that they get cheap labor in the fields. We had Barbara Rhine on last week. She was the lawyer for Cesar Chavez and the whole United Farm Workers. Remember that? What happened in California? And recently there was just a movie done about it. Michael Pena was the star, was Chavez. And she talked about what it was like then, and activism was big, and just what it was like for the workers, though, and negotiating with these vineyards, and it was mostly vineyards, and other crops, though, too, things that were being picked, and what was happening to the people and the wages and whatnot, and the back and forth over that. So there are two different perspectives. There is no way to know if we completely said that's it, we are, which I think would be an impossibility. I know this will not happen, but let's pretend for a second. Okay, we're going to have just only legal channels as much as possible. And we're going to, when we say deport, it's just you're deported, that's it. And no longer will we tolerate anyone who hires illegals to work for them because of the cheap labor that they can pay and offer and et cetera. So now the wages would have to go up if you were going to hire other people, Americans, to take those jobs, theoretically, let's say. And would they take those jobs? There's no way to know that. I mean, the argument, there is no correct answer because we don't know. It's a theory. The theory is no, it would not happen. You don't want to do those jobs. George Lopez, very funny guy. We're trying to get him to come on to teach me some jokes. He did a whole comedy bit on that, you know, if you don't have my people here, then guess what? You're not eating any lettuce, and makes jokes about the whole thing and talks about that's exactly right. There's no way that you'd have dead, dying crops because there just wouldn't be enough people that would be willing to do it. And the answer could just lie in they wouldn't be willing to do it for those wages. All right, we had a couple of other people that also jumped on that same argument, so I'll do two more of those. This one is from Brad. He emails a lot in Illinois. Brad says, thumbs up to the guy in Tallahassee. Although I am against illegal immigration, I think it's atrocious what we've allowed ourselves to put up with in this country. And now we have drugs flowing all over the place, and gang members who have destroyed some of the inner cities and even rural areas. And shame on us for not being more active and proactive along the border in the first place, because you've said this, Kate, there always would be people that would get into the country. That's the nature of the beast, but the numbers wouldn't be as high, so the economic impact wouldn't be as great if only the laws were enforced in the first place. But I also don't think we should stomp on the heads of innocent people who risk their lives to come across the border, because, hey, everyone they know has come across the border. That's what they know. And they have jobs waiting for them. They need the jobs, and we give them the jobs. As long as that continues, that's going to be the way of life here in these United States. And I agree with the Tallahassee guy. I don't think that there would be enough people that would be able to work in the orange groves, that would work in the strawberry fields, and would do the things necessary to continue to supply our food chain. Okay, we have another one here from Bernadette, who says, Kate, I wasn't sure when I listened to the Tallahassee guy. I love how everybody's calling the Tallahassee guy. I wasn't sure when I listened to the Tallahassee guy whether I liked him or not. First of all, he took a swing at your pal Jack, who calls in. And even though Jack is a ridiculous right turn, he also is rather funny, a family guy, and can make fun of himself, make fun of you, and also talk about lighter things. So I thought that was unfair, the way he characterized him, just a little jab that he made at the top. But on the workers' side of things, I'm not really of the mind that we would have enough people that would do the gigs. Look at the younger people. Do you think millennials, whether they're in college, out of college, need jobs, do you really think they're going to do that back-breaking work for $4 an hour or $5 an hour in the California sun or in Florida or someplace else? You ever go out and have to harvest potatoes? It is back-breaking, awful, awful work. There is nothing glamorous in it. And without a decent payday, is that really what you think will happen across this country? Or would there be easier jobs that pay more that people would be more inclined to go for who are Americans? Yeah, you know, it is, there is no doubt that working in the fields is tough. I have been in all those places you mentioned doing stories. And I said that when I lived in California, I knew a strawberry farmer. I've been to and watched strawberries being picked. I've seen the apple thing, orange groves, which are beautiful. It's great when you go and visit and you're with the owner of the place driving around and looking how pretty it is and seeing how much work is being done. But actually being there and having to do that day in and day out and sorting and all the other stuff, and for a very meager wage, yeah, not great. Would you rather be working in fast food somewhere on your feet, but working in a fast food joint somewhere making the same amount of money, or be out in the fields doing the other work? And I go back to the same thing. I can't answer the question of would there be enough people that would do it. Well, I guess if we were all starving and we needed it, we'd have to find people that would work and do it. Someone would have to do it. If we had no one to do it, it would either be done or we would starve. We'd starve for the certain kinds of foods that we want. I mean, what would we all be eating? Prepackaged stuff that we're not supposed to eat because it gives us cancer. So there you go. By sheer necessity, would that happen? Maybe. It's an argument we absolutely have no way to know the end of unless we were to see a complete clearing out. Just like when, in Chavez's case, they went on strike, remember, and there were problems, and the winemakers eventually had to come to the table, renegotiate, and do the whole thing so that they could have their grapes picked so they could make the wine, because that's what started to happen. They didn't have anyone to do that, thinking, well, no, they'll come back to work, and they didn't, and it was tough for the workers, and it was tough for the wine makers as well. I'm going to squeeze in one more, this one from Michael, who says, Kate, thumbs up on dumb things I shouldn't have done. I'm going to participate in this next week. I started making a list. I laughed so hard when I heard Dan in Texas's story. Boy, do I have one kind of along the same level with a BB gun and being told not to use it. Unfortunately, I did not listen to my father, but I'm going to save that for dumb things. Remember, if you have any thoughts, you can send them to me, americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Coming up, our daily salute.
This winter, next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel can be safely stored with your other supplies for many years and works in any gas-powered vehicle or backup generator. With the bitterly cold temperatures predicted for this winter, now is the best time to stock up on Spare Fuel. So, go to GetSpareFuel.com. That's GetSpareFuel.com. GetSpareFuel.com.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com. The future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial,
just like the one you're listening to right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Just stay focused, have fun, relax. I think we've been a little bit tighter than we have been this past few weeks. So to get back to ourselves, get back to that hard-nosed, nasty team we like to say that wants to earn and wants to go get it with that big chip on our shoulder.
All right, that's the voice of a guy named Dak Prescott. For all of you listening in the great state of Mississippi, he is a superstar for the Bulldogs. Mississippi State is number one in college football right now. How about that? You think of the perennial powerhouses, and there's Mississippi State, and people are going crazy for the Bulldogs. They've got a big, big meeting in college football this weekend with Alabama and in Tuscaloosa. For people in Alabama listening to the show, you know how big this one is, because Alabama is 5. I think they're there in the end for the college football playoffs. 4 teams is what it'll be narrowed down to, because now we know there's a playoff system this year for the first time. And Mississippi State has a chance, certainly. They're a perfect 9-0, 5-0 in the SEC. And Dak Prescott gets our daily salute. He is on the Heisman list. He could possibly win the Heisman. A lot of people are talking about Dak. Oh, yeah. He's big. He's a guy who can scramble out of the pocket. And in a way, he kind of reminds you of Tim Tebow.
Yeah, baby.
But I love this kid. I had a chance to meet him, and he's just a good kid. And how about that for Mississippi State? I love it. I love this matchup with Alabama. 3:30 Eastern time. You can bet I'll be huddled around a television set watching this one. Maybe some of you will be, too. I know how people feel about college football. And it's funny. College football is one of those things. If you went there, of course, you're whatever school you're watching and paying attention to it. But even if you didn't go to school there, if you're from that state or from that area, you're pulling for them. And even if you didn't go to college, people adopt the local teams. And I think that's why they become so big. The fan base becomes so big because that's what the conversation is over how the team's doing. And so he gets our daily salute. Maybe he'll win the Heisman. Good possibility. He's certainly on the list. All right, kind of a odds and ends here with what we have left in this hour of America Tonight after going through the mailbag. We obviously touched a nerve with the whole immigration aspect of working in the United States, and we all get that. Listen, politics aside, no matter what you want to label yourself, there is no doubt that laws weren't enforced because the jobs were there, and they became a funnel. Whether it was construction or whether it was working in the fields or whether it was working as a domestic or domestically or working somewhere in a kitchen or working on a golf course. I mean, I have a million examples just in my own radius and my own neighborhood. And I really have seen it change the face of the home builders industry. And, you know, we used to have somebody that called the show all the time who said he just couldn't get work anymore because the crews weren't really hiring you unless they picked you up daily somewhere in front of a 7-Eleven where he was, you know, where he used to get a lot of work. He wasn't getting it any longer. But construction, a little bit different, and the crews that used to be versus what we've seen in the fields. With these new policies, that wouldn't change anything. It would still be the same status quo of people coming in, except for they'd have a work card. That would be the idea, that everybody would have a green card to work, or, as has been discussed, have the green card. You come in, you work, you leave. You come in, you just, you know, one of those temporary visas. And that's what it would be. But it'd be interesting watching to see how all of that was enforced. For goodness sake, we had problems with just student visas, and that led to huge sad moments in our lives because there was no tracking when someone had a student visa, and then it was up. And you know that from the Saudis that were on the planes that went into the towers and into the field and into the Pentagon, but that's a different story. This was interesting. Somebody sent me a link to this today, and it was about this comet lander that bounced a few times. And what I'm talking about, this is of course a science deal, and science being one of my best subjects in school. I was all over this. Did you ever have to make a volcano? You had a science fair, and you were the person that made the exploding volcano. I had to make the exploding volcano. I don't know why. I thought it was cool, and I wanted to do it. Yeah, my brother and my mother ended up making the exploding volcano. I wasn't good at the science experiments. But anyway, scientists who pulled off this incredible achievement in space exploration showed a bunch of black and white images where they think the Philly probe landed on a comet. This is pretty cool. 310 million miles from Earth. And this is from the European Space Agency. They haven't slept, they say, in the last couple of days because they're so excited and all the anticipation of it and what that journey was going to be and would it be successful. And they're reporting that the mission that they called Rosetta, which to them means in translation to, you know, space exploration, they're trying to answer the questions about the solar system, which that's pretty cool. And what they wanted to do is see how it evolved and what role do comets play and how do comets work and all of that. So they had some problems with the landing, anchoring the harpoons, which didn't deploy when the fillet made impact. But, so, you know, that has to do with burrowing into the surface and whatnot. So it bounced at least twice, but stuck the landing. Because it didn't dig in. And this mission was so significant. I mean, the way I'm describing it, I'm not really giving them enough credit. The idea that you can find out about space and comets and what that all means and how do they evolve. This is the guy who was the lead guy on this, the scientist, 2 decades working on this Rosetta mission. So picture this. Picture yourself as this person, and for 2 decades, you are working on one thing. That's it. 2 decades. That's 20 years on one project. So, yeah, I think at the end of it, losing a few days' sleep and then watching it bounce on the comet would be pretty darn exciting. 310 million miles from Earth? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So the photos are very cool, and I'm sure you can find them anywhere. Just put in Rosetta Mission. And that's what drew it to me is the link that somebody sent. And the people were so excited who had worked on this with him. They're hugging and high-fiving and all this sort of stuff. Because spacecraft, I guess, have crashed into comets before. But this was a controlled landing. And it was the first controlled landing on a comet. On a comet, right? In history. How do you do that? I mean, this goes in the books. The Rosetta mission, rendezvousing with and orbiting a comet and delivering a landing to the surface. That's incredible when you think about it. You know, I'm talking about when you look into the sky and say, oh, that's a comet. And now you're landing something on the comet. Amazing. I mean, that's amazing to me. And I guess that's why I got the link. Rosetta took off from Earth 10 years ago. On a rocket, traveled about 6.4 billion miles before coming in contact with the comet in August. So then the lander separated from the orbiting Rosetta and then landed on the comet 7 hours later. Wow. That could be the daily salute, too. I'm still wrapping my mind around the 310 million miles. How long it traveled, 6.4 billion miles, landing on a comet. Jeez, I mean, really, isn't it amazing the things we can do? Awesome. Thanks for listening.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.